360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
It is indeed 360 Biz. My name is Tabo Mafodi. Welcome to another exciting installment of 360 Biz. Today we're talking about one of my most favorite thing, being public speaking, or the speaking of business. Eh? What are we talking about, Bulanan? You see this headache of yours, it's starting to affect me now.
We're discussing the business of speaking.
Okay.
And I didn't see it any fitter or better than to get the gentleman that we have in studio, and you guys will be introduced to him later on in the show. Because, I mean, it was inspired by the show that we had last week.
Yes.
This was inspired by the show that we had last week, where we had different guys saying that they speak and different guys deeming themselves the best and number one. And we had to get, the best to come into studio to educate a little bit. Because, I mean, I've got a lot of guys running around, you know, wanting to speak. You know, we've got a lot of guys running around thinking that they can't speak. And this is one gentleman who I've observed and noted that, you know, there are technicalities to speaking, and you will be educated about today. And you, I'd like to think that guys will walk away better. Entrepreneurs out there would walk away better in terms of presenting themselves at escos, at new clients and all that stuff. They'll be able to close more deals. So, yeah, man, I'm happy about today.
But, Bulelan, it's interesting that me and you are in the business of speaking. You know, and here we are today. I mean, we're gonna get educated, and more than anything, I think one thing that we need to note to all the listeners out there listening today at Cliff Central is that we've got different sets of speakers. I mean, we've got the likes of you know, our guests in studio that we're gonna be definitely introducing, and we've got, you know, thought leadership speakers, we've got subject matter experts, like one of our guests that's going to be joining us on the show all the way from Cape Town, and we've got a young generation speaker as well that's going to be joining later on the show. But I'm sure people are actually wondering to say, who are these guests that we're not mentioning their names? And I think it's a surprise, eh? Is it a surprise, Bruno? What is it?
Yeah, it's an overwhelming surprise.
It's an overwhelming surprise. Yeah. Yeah, I think more than anything, for all those that are listening, you're allowed to join in on the discussion. You can call in our studio lines 0861-555-189, 0861-555-189. We're on Twitter as well. Our Twitter handle is at CliffCentral.com. We're on Facebook as well. Our Facebook page is Cliff Central. We're on WeChat as well. Our WeChat ID is Cliff Central. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at TeboHomaFodi. And if you want to follow my boy Bulelani, it's at Bulelani Bala. Is that Twitter? Bulelani Bala on Instagram.
Bulelani
Bala on Facebook. Is it Bulelani Bala Bala on Facebook? Facebook. Guys, you must keep consistency. But anyway, we're going to be hearing from the legend itself. I mean, more than anything, without wasting any time, I think let's read right straight to our discussion. What do you think about that?
Yeah, definitely.
Let me take this moment. In fact, no, let me not introduce him. Let him introduce himself.
Drum roll.
Yeah. Yeah, no, let me take the opportunity of opening up the mic for the gentleman to introduce himself. Say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is it that you do. We're going to be posting a whole lot of pictures on social media, a whole lot of pictures on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. You're allowed to join in the discussion. Definitely this is an exciting discussion that we're going to be having, and we want to be taking questions as well from some of you that are listening out there. If ever you want to be asking our guests some of the questions, definitely hit us up on Twitter, on Facebook or even on Instagram. We'll definitely send through those questions for your behalf. Over to you, sir.
Hi, good afternoon, guys, and good afternoon to your listeners. It's quite an honor to be here at Cliff Central. It's the second time I've been here, and my name is Billy Selekane.
Mr. Selekane, before we actually get into a discussion, okay, maybe before I ask that question, do you want to tell our listeners who you are and what is it that you do? Because I know there's people that are wondering, who's this Billy guy that everyone is so excited about to have in studio?
Well, I refer myself as a hope merchant. I'm the guys that sell hope, not only sell hope, but give people the tools of actualizing hope into actions and get results to transform their lives. And I do that by speaking to people. And when I'm saying speaking, I'm not saying just standing and speaking. You know, actually, at some point in time when I was in the U.S., one guy came to me and said, you know, we've never had a speaker that has the power, had such power to connect with our intellect and our heart. I said, wow, thank you very much. He said, you know, to me, you reminded me of this movie called The Horse Whisperer. I said, why? He said, because you you I could call a human whisperer because you spoke and got to us in ways that not many people have the ability to do. And I thought, wow, that's very cool. So, you know, this human whisperer thing, it seems to be growing in me. But unfortunately, I'm not the one that would say, you know, this is who I am. I would rather have the people who experience me put it up there about how they experience me, because, you know, I'm in the midst of us achieving great things. I still believe that humility is an Afrocentric virtue, and great leaders like, you know, the late Dr. Kgolisi Nelson Mandela became a world-renowned leader because of his humility. He could do absolutely amazing things, but he was never flippant about it. He was never arrogant about it. He understood this one profound truth that each and every one of us is a gift, and that gift doesn't belong to you. It belongs to those that it will affect. No. So, you know, that's how I see things.
And what you're saying, I mean, in that Silicon, it's so true, because it's all about branding. You know, branding is it's not what you say about yourself.
It's what people say
about
you.
But it's what people say about you. Absolutely. So I think it's a definite, situation. But then I wonder, what are people saying about you, dude?
I'm not sure. I'm starstruck. Always am. I'd love to think that they think I'm efficient.
Okay.
I inspire them. I'd like to think, I don't know. Yeah, good things. I hope it's good things. Yeah. What are people saying about you?
I've heard a couple of things. You know, I've heard people say I'm brilliant. I've heard people say I'm authentic. And it's kind of some of the things that I've kind of tried to live by, to remain authentic and to remain true to myself. In terms of the brilliance, I think I'm still working on. I'm not one to blow my horn to say, you know what, I'm the it or the kind. But I know that I constantly want to grow myself and definitely improve myself. So that is like, as you're in the business of speaking, obviously you've done this for many years.
Yeah, 18 years to be exact.
18 years.
Yeah. and still learning, you know. Yeah. It's a journey, we learn.
Sure. So now tell me, what's the importance of intro? Because I hear they say it's important how you introduce yourself.
Yeah.
So I know I want to ask this question before we actually introduce our next guest, so that at least she has tips on the importance of introducing yourself. I don't doubt that she's good, but I want to hear that from you though.
Well, you know, when it comes to introduction, there are a couple of ways that we can look at it. You know, What are you introducing? Are you introducing you as a person? Are you introducing the subject? Or are you trying to create a connection with your audience? And one of the fascinating things, one of the most significant or the number one powerful man on planet Earth who rules America or who's the leader of America, his name is Barack Obama. And when they introduce him, they don't say he's been at this and he's done APs, and they just say, ladies and gentlemen, Barack Obama, they, you know. So I believe that, you know, I've got an interview when I do my keynotes, and sometimes I feel like, maybe I don't want to play the video. Maybe I just want to go in there and just connect with people.
Yeah.
And what I find fascinating is when I decide not to play for the, when I play the video, people come, oh, they become starstruck, you know? And then I'm thinking, you know, they're now just, you know, basking in the kind of starstruckness, you know? But had I not played the video, how would the reception would have been?
Ooh.
And in many instances, ooh, I've actually abandoned the video and abandoned the PowerPoint and decided, you know what, today it's about connecting. Hmm. And when I connect with people, I get to, the human whisperer thing becomes more powerful than it could have been if I'd been introduced with these big razzmatazz.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got to make a choice, but that choice has to be around what you've just said, authenticity. How, you know, remember, it's always about perception and reality.
Mm-hmm.
And perception can be managed, you know, and a fascinating thing about perception is people have got a certain perception about you. You're either proving them right or proving them wrong. You're either in defense or in attack. So there is no prescriptive way of doing it. And it depends on which audience you're speaking to. When you're speaking to the corporate, you're speaking to a seminar, you know, audience. You're speaking to students. You're speaking to you know, low-level employees like guys on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on who the audience is and what the message is. Because I believe that each and every audience will respond to your message differently.
Oh yes.
And as a speaker, it's your responsibility to understand the kind of language and emotion that they find themselves in when you go and speak to them,
mm-hmm.
so that you are able from just getting on stage to connect with them.
Wow.
Because I'll give an example. In some instances, especially in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
when the speaking engagement that you have, you got it through a speaker agency,
yeah.
or the president of the company, the CEO, has brought you in, the tradition is to thank them before you do a keynote.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so that you do this thing called edification. You edify them and you honor them for bringing you in that environment, because without them, you couldn't have been there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes you go to an environment where it's a high charged environment, you know, like this multi-level marketing environment,
yeah,
where it's like high energy. And when you get in there, you can't be saying, I'm thinking this, you're killing the mood.
Yeah.
So when you get in there and just pump it and take it to that level that they want, because all different audiences respond differently based on the set of their mind, where they are and how they came to the environment that they're interacting with you.
No, I will continue with the discussion. It's very educational. Let me go to a different set of speaker. Bulelane, this woman is she's quite amazing. I mean, I know her since 2013 now, and I mean, she's been brilliant in what she does. And but she's a market leader type of speaker. She's a subject matter expert. You know, within a unique sector that mainly we interact with. I mean, I'm actually speaking. Bulelane is on his phone, social
and
media ring and twittering and whatever.
You'll see the videos.
Yes, and the interesting thing is that the speaker that I'm talking about, she's actually in that space of social media. Let me not actually spoil her introduction. Let me give her an opportunity to say hi to our listeners and tell us who she is and what is it that she does. How are you, ma'am? Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you, Jackie?
I'm doing fantastically. And yourself, Hiboho?
No, I'm good, thanks. Do you want to take this opportunity to say hi to our listeners, tell us who you are and what is it that you do?
I'd love to. Thanks very much. My name is Jackie Macro-Wilson, and I represent Go Social SA, and I am a brand builder and a connector.
A brand builder and a connector. I like that. Yeah, continue.
So I have a background in education. I was a teacher for a number of years, but I've always had an entrepreneurial vein running through me, and happened to get into business and found myself working in the online and digital space. And that's where I've been for almost the last 7 years now, and really enjoying it. Love it. Love building brands, love helping business owners to connect with their audiences in the online space.
Wow, no, it's actually amazing. We must actually take you on a challenge to work on mine, that the Siliconess brand, eh?
Yeah. That'll be amazing, definitely.
It's really an honor to be with you and listening to what you were saying, Billy. It resonates strongly with me, because it's all about that connection, and audiences, people fundamentally are the same. Where you're standing in front of an audience and speaking to them and making that connection, I am representing brands and businesses online and using conversation to make those connections just using digital tools. So it's a very similar thing, and it's all about that emotional resonance with people, because like you say, when their heart and their intellect join forces and connect with you, then you have something very special that happens.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So now tell me, I mean, Jackie, you are a different set of speaker. You're more like a teacher. You're more,
yes,
like a facilitator. I mean, you educate people about, I mean, the ins and the outs of social media, the trends and how to better use social media. I mean, what type of speaker do you call yourself?
Look, I do workshops and training. So that's where my public speaking experience really comes into play. I've never really built myself as a professional speaker. I believe that people who are in that class, people like Billy, that's a totally different class. That's where your profession is speaking. And I use speaking simply as one of the tools in my toolbox. So subject matter or thought leader is more of a description that would fit me. And really the topic that I speak to is obviously digital marketing. So that's really very specific, you know. Although I love the way Billy, I have to compliment you. Being a purveyor of hope. What did you call yourself? I love that.
I'm a hope merchant.
Hope merchant.
Hope merchant. Yes. In other words, a purveyor of hope.
Absolutely.
I love it. That's
Thank
really,
you.
Really, really fantastic.
Wow.
But no, I'm more in the business of helping to teach people, and that's where the speaking comes into play.
So now, I mean, but obviously you've been exposed to quite a number of speakers, obviously, within the business that you do. and motivational speakers and the likes. I mean, in your own personal, I mean, perception or opinion, is it people that would you say is the certain type of value that they bring to the community?
Definitely. You know, the thing is, every single one of us has a message for the world, and it comes across in different ways, whether you're conscious of it or not, right? And I think that's, we won't even get into the branding elements there, but we've all got a message. And the people who are not afraid to hone their skills and to really polish their public speaking ability are able to convey that message in a much better way. So they're better at making connections, they're better at transferring information that's valuable to their listeners, and so that is how they really deliver the value. And that's why I think it's a very necessary skill to work on. I mean, from early childhood, we're teaching our youngsters to be able to stand up in the classrooms mm-hmm. and deliver an oral presentation. And I think, you know, the importance of that from an early age is it can't be overemphasized. I myself always took part in public speaking and debating and was encouraged by my parents to really get involved with that sort of thing, because they knew, they were both entrepreneurs, and they knew that further down the line that was a skill that was only going to stand me in good stead. And I'm sure that anybody today who really wants to make strides in mm-hmm. their own niche will invest time and energy and practice mm-hmm. into developing their ability to speak in front of a crowd without fear and nerves taking over and just completely debilitating you.
Yeah. So maybe coming back to Ntate Selekan. Ntate Selekan, how does one start? Because right now you've been in this business for years.
Yep.
And I mean, okay, I've been fortunate to be exposed to how you started. Bulelan, do you know how Ntate Selekan started?
I'd be interested to know.
Is it? Maybe let's take it there. Jackie, wouldn't you like to know how Ntate Selekan started?
I love hearing people's stories, so yeah. please share it.
Okay. Jackie, you're getting me to be put on the spot. You're conspiring with these young people here.
I can't deny it.
Well, you know, my start was quite different because I was born with the gift of art. And I've always thought I'd become a professional artist like Salvador Dali, not like Picasso, die and be famous. I wanted to be famous while I'm alive, make the money while I'm alive. And mm-hmm. I tried to study art at UNISA. And unfortunately, because of lack of funds, I could not finish. And I'd like to qualify this. You know, me, Steve Jobs, and Bill Gates, we did not drop out of university. We left university. So, you know, we've got to qualify some things. You know, we did not drop, we left.
Okay.
So when I left university, because all my life I've always been an entrepreneur, I've always had a business that failed or succeeded for 2 weeks and then failed. So I've always been trying stuff, you know, like, you know, we are the old school hustlers who defined the word hustle.
Mm.
And one day I attended a business seminar. And in this business seminar, it was the first time that I had an exposure of somebody standing on stage and speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And I was absolutely, absolutely inspired. And the fascinating thing is I had what's called an out-of-body experience. I felt like I was this guy and this guy was me. And it was just like crazy. And I did not know how to describe this thing mm-hmm. that this guy was doing.
Yes.
But deep down in the ebb of my heart, I knew that this was what my life should be about. I must be the guy that stands in front and inspire people. Now, here's the fascinating thing. How do you stand in front of people and inspire people if you yourself are not inspired or your life is a mess?
Mm-hmm.
So I then said to myself, well, I've got to fix my life first, you know, mm-hmm. and life takes over. You go all kind of different directions. But that bug, that kind of being the merchant of hope had bitten me.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how many times I tried to run away from it, it just kept following me. And then eventually, I you know, I started buying tapes. You know, I don't know if you guys know tapes.
The cassettes. No, don't worry. You're from that generation.
I'm from that generation. You know, I started listening to people like Zig Ziglar, Les Brown, Jim Rowan, you know, Brian Tracy, you name them. And as I started consuming their content, I felt compelled to share this content with people around me.
Hmm.
Now, when you speak about success, surely there's this integrity question, you know, why you and why this topic?
Mm-hmm.
So it was always, each time I spoke and inspired people, people said, but hey, you're struggling like us, Charlie. You know, why are you telling us we're going to become successful? You, my man, are not successful.
Mm.
So then I realized that you cannot talk about what you are not. You cannot talk about what you have not experienced. You cannot talk about the truth and authenticity.
Yes.
So I then said, I need to sort my life out. I need to be the example of the story that I'm telling.
Hmm.
So I went and I rebuilt my life and I built businesses and I achieved some measure of success. And once I had done that, I felt that I had earned the credibility to stand in front of people and share with them my story and some principles that I've learned along the way, which I believe could empower those people to also find their voice and their journey and do something that they were born to become. And that's how my journey began. And the fascinating thing is, when I started, the question was, how do I start, you know, and where do I go?
Yeah.
It was kind of a very, very funny thing, you know, and I decided, okay, I could do schools and churches and those kind of places. But still at that time, I mean, South Africa was still in that kind of space, you know. We were shifted into the new environment. Mm-hmm. But motivational speaking was still seen as a domain for white people. You know, black people were never speaking. There was one or two top speakers in the country, Abner Mrid and David Malap, and both of them were never in the country all the time.
I know.
So they were the biggest benchmark that we had to look through. And, you know, I started old school, took tapes, learned from the tapes, and practice like crazy, you know, and just learned the craft and learned the craft. And in 1998, I quit my job. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do this full time. And I remember when I quit my job, it was a bit of a misnomer in my family because I was married. I had two kids. And the job that I was working, you know, I had a company car and all these trappings. And my parents didn't understand what I was doing. And, you know, there was a meeting. What are you doing? I said, no, I'm going to go become a speaker. And my father said, so what do speakers do? I said, no, speakers speak. And they said, and then what happens? And I said, we get paid. And my father said, I don't understand. I've been speaking for over 40 years and nobody pays me. What makes you think they're going to pay you, you know? So it was kind of that kind of funny story.
Yeah.
And the fascinating thing is, the saddest thing about it is the people that were closer to me who I thought would support and understand my journey and my vision just said to me, listen, Charlie, you're crazy. Go and get another job. You know, who's going to pay you for what? Because the truth is, I had no, you know, I did not have the kind of education that people wanted me to have. And my success was not as great at that time as it would be later on. But here's one thing that I knew, and this I read, and most people know it in many times, that there's nothing as powerful as an idea whose time has come.
Oh, yeah,
so my time had arrived for me to go into the world and to touch and transform people's lives. And just that one great why. And for me, was why am I doing this, you know? Why shouldn't I be a bricklayer, be an accountant? Why was I wanting to speak? Well, I've realized this one common thing that at that time, people, you know, were just going into democracy and people were sort of lost in the kind of system, not knowing where to find themselves, how to make things happen. And I realized that, you know, each and every one of us has a message to give. And if your message can inspire just one person in a group of 20 to 30, then you have really, you know, contributed to society. So for me, it was about how can I take this gift that I believe I had and time and people proved that, you know, you really have the gift. But how could I take it and make sure that it goes to people that can use them to transform their lives? And that's how I started. You know?
But now you're saying something very interesting, that is, I mean, that your people that you expected for them to support you didn't support you. Why is it that you can, even on social media, you can say, I just started a business and you get three likes.
You say I've got promoted.
Then you said, I just got a job or I just got promoted. Then you have 1,000 likes. And I mean, someone, a wise man once said, if ever you wanna see who really supports you, start a business and you'll see.
Yeah. Well, I think we live in a society that is highly negatively projected. So we live in a society where belief is non-existent. So people don't believe that it is possible to shift from one circumstance to the other.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they're still trapped in the sense that they believe that it's a preserve of a certain amount of people in society, that you've got to do certain things to move ahead. I think we live in a society which when you are that bold to proclaim, you're basically challenging them softly that they're not living what they're supposed to be living. So that projection, it hits them so hard that the only defense that they have is to become negative towards you. Because they also know that they are not living the kind of lives that they should be living.
Sure.
Most people know that what they... I mean, research will tell you, over 80% of people that wake up and go to work, they hate their jobs. Why? Because they went there because, you know, somebody told them to go. Now they are there, they've got debts to pay. So they know what their dream is, but they cannot pursue that dream.
Because
they have to leave this kind of comfort zone. And when they see you doing that, it sort of feels like, oh my God, I should be doing that, but I cannot do it because I've got a book of excuse that I've written. And here's this young man is bold. So the only thing that I can do instead of encouraging him or her, I'm going to discourage them because I want them to stay like me until we all die.
It's actually power. I mean, Jackie, you are a social media specialist. And why is it that when somebody's saying they are employed, they get 1,000 likes? And when I say that I've just started my business, I get 3 likes.
You know, this is a question that's close to my heart as well, because a lot of the online marketing that I've been involved with has been for entrepreneurs and for entrepreneurial movements. And Tebogo, honestly, I believe it's that, I mean, I've even experienced it in my own family, where I've had family members say to me, you know what, maybe you should just get a job at different points in time when things have been tough. But at the end of the day, I agree with Billy. It comes down to the fact that the perception is that, you know, it's tough out there. And if you go into business for yourself, do you know that 88% of businesses, new businesses, fail? We hear all this kind of negative messaging, and it influences people's perception. But there's a flip side to every coin. And the flip side to to the coin of entrepreneurship and startup businesses is that although so many in the beginning fail, 90% of second-time businesses succeed. And that's a counter statistic that we don't often hear about. So I think it's about perception, as Billy said, but I also think that it's a lack of knowledge. You know, people don't really know. And the walk in being a business owner is really about persistence, and it is about failing. I've got a failed business or two under the belt myself, but it's about getting back up and trying again. As Billy said, he tried lots of things. And I think it is about having that thing in you, whatever it might be. It's a motivation, it's a desire to try new things, to push the envelope, to not be afraid to fail. Because if you want to succeed, you can't be scared of failing. And it doesn't mean you're not afraid. You know, somebody said to me recently, being brave isn't the absence of fear. It's being afraid and acting in spite of
Absolutely.
It. So you might be afraid to start a new business or to step out or to take certain actions, but it's courageous when you act in spite of those fears.
So now, it goes back to the question of fear. But Elani, maybe let me ask, coming back to you, I mean, you run tea, you are a speaker. And when was that point when now you started getting paid for what you do? Because I think the problem with us, I mean I've realized now, I mean, everyone wants to be a speaker, but now it gets to that point where you need to start monetizing that gift, you know. I think maybe, and that this link must be the one that answers that.
Yes, actually. At which point and what was the tipping point? Because I think that the biggest thing for me, sometimes I want a way out. Do I charge? Don't I? Because sometimes I feel like I need to put a bit of mileage on the brand.
Yeah.
And sometimes you've got you risk the fear of not being utilized or booked to speak. And maybe your brand might not have been even exposed. Because I think we fall prey to people who say, no, come speak. Because if you can't speak, you don't know who you'll be exposed to. And maybe they might take you to the next level.
You know, even now as a professional speaker, I still have the same kind of quagmire. Where company X says, listen, come and speak, but our budget is this much. Now, you've got to ask yourself this one question. What do you do? You're a speaker. What do speakers do? They speak.
They speak.
Now, the question is, do you rather not get paid the whole day or get paid 65 to 70% of what you're worth, but be in front of an audience, learn lessons on that day, touch and transform people's lives, and within that audience, there's a chance, over 50% chance, that somebody's going to know somebody who will relay their message and you'll get booked. I'll give you an example. I once, you know, had a client call me and we had long arguments on the phone because I knew they're a big company with the money, you know. But hey, we don't have budget. Then I called this guy who's a guy that I bounce ideas from. I said, listen, these guys are calling me, they're big ones, they've got the money, but they don't want to pay me. So what do you say? And we had a lot of different scenarios, but it hit me so hard. When we then got to a place where we now call the 18 million equation.
Okay.
Now the 18 million equation is a fascinating equation. Over 18 million people in this country receive grants. Sir,
over
please,
18 million.
Could I please pause you? I need to record this.
What?
What you to put it on social media.
Oh, you want to do a video of it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Mm.
So over 18 million people in this country receive grants for whatever reasons. So if I'm going to go today and speak at an organization and cut my fee by 20-25%, the reality is I'm still better off than over 18 million people in this country. So you can't take that for granted. Hmm. You can't move into a space of complacence, because you've got to consistently move in a space of an attitude of gratitude. You know, you've got to balance your absolute commerciality and the thankfulness of the fact that what you earn, it's inconceivable in other people, in over 18 million people's minds. You know, sometimes when people say, oh, you're a speaker, how much you get paid? It's kind of a tough question. I don't want to answer that question, because I remember I once answered this question and I could see this person was, it was unbelievable. That is like, for 1 hour, it was like, you know, and I understand, you know, where this person came from. So you've got to be in front of people, you know, Bulena, you've got to do what it takes. I mean, as we speak today, you know, there's all kind of associations, Rotary, Lion Club, Panel Beaters Association, and all these guys have got meetings every day. Mm-hmm. And they don't have speakers, but you don't know who goes there. And at this point in time, this big company that wanted to reduce my fee, that we eventually agreed. However, I put some conditions on top. You can't say this to anybody. You make them sign stuff, you know. And you find a way to sneak in books and whatever to recover the cost. But in this particular instance, after I had this conversation and this realization, I said, you know, I'm going to go and do this. But I'm not going to do it for the CEO or the HR lady that just negotiated this fee. I'm going to do it for the employees of this organization. Because I believe if I can go and connect with them and teach them the knowledge that I have, somebody's life will change. If one person's life changes in that day, in that conference, my you know, I've done my job. Now here's a kicker. One person in that audience was the wife of a CEO of a big multinational.
Hmm.
This lady came, tears rolling down her face, and she said, I have never had somebody that spoke to me so directly. I'm going to get my husband to call you. You've been amazing. And she left. I'm thinking, my husband called me. Who would be the husband?
Hmm.
5 days after, I got a call from this office at a meeting.
I want to know who's this husband.
I can't tell you that. So, and then the PA said, my boss just wants to see you, blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, I'm going to, you know, says, please, he's going to be flying. Can you meet him at the airport? So I went and I met him at the airport. This guy says, you know what? Me and my wife, we had to talk about business. But the day she had to speak and she came home, I said, I had to see this guy, you know. And this guy says, listen, I'm away for 2 weeks, whatever, but when I come back, we're going to have a roadshow around the country. You know, would you like to come? I said, well, yes. And I got paid to do 22 keynotes around the country at my full fee.
Hmm.
You understand? So you've got to always be in front of an audience.
Yeah. But now, you see that it's like, you're speaking upgrade now. You're speaking fee reduction.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'll make an example. I'm sitting with a professional that's trying to get trying to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
So from the beginning, how do you start now realize, okay, now I can start getting paid for what I do? And how do you start attaching value to say, now I charge 5,000, I charge 10,000, I charge 20,000?
Well, you do market research.
Okay.
You find out the people that speak exactly the same subject with you,
mm-hmm.
who are the top 10, and how much are they getting paid? Because it's not a secret. It's not a secret to how much people are getting paid. You find out how much they're getting paid. You look at their record. You look at their testimonials. What are people saying about them? What are corporates saying about them?
Mm.
And if your testimonials, because one of the things that I say to speakers, if people says, oh man, this was a great thing. No, everybody says it was a great thing. Say to them, would you mind writing an email and telling me how you experienced it?
Wow.
And people, everybody is a good speaker. Oh, he was amazing. He was hilarious. No. People want value. He came in, our sales were low. He worked with us. He touched our minds. We transformed. We saw sales going up from 5% to 13%. You want those kind of solid testimonials, because people buy numbers. People don't buy emotions that are just flurry. People want to know, you came, you transformed, but what are the numbers saying? Did you shift the numbers, yes or no? And if you have shifted the numbers enough, that in itself, it's value attached to it.
Mm.
So you can look at, you know, the guy charges this much, this one charges much, I've got to come in the middle. And you come in that middle, and you become steadfast that this is my fee based on these testimonials and based on what I've done.
Hmm.
And I can promise you that people will pay you. But here's the deal. People pay what you believe they will pay.
Hmm.
People don't pay you what you're worth. People pay you what you believe you're worth.
Hmm. Okay, you need to repeat that again.
People don't pay you what you're worth. People pay you what you believe you're worth. How much do you believe you're worth? And that sense of belief transcends itself or transforms itself to the decision-making process of the person that you're negotiating with.
Mm.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. I mean, that is, again, I was telling my friends how much I get paid an hour to speak, you know. They were shocked. Like, that's a lot of money. I'm like, no. It's so little. I still need to up my game, you know, and reach a certain bar. I mean, how much do you get paid now? Like you said, it's not a secret, it's public.
I get paid 40,000 an hour.
40,000 an hour, you see. Jackie, when did you start getting paid?
When did I start getting paid? Do you know, it's taken me, the journey that Billy's described now is one that has taken me 7 years to get to a point where I've said, you know what? I am going to get paid what I'm worth, what I believe I'm worth, as he said, because I did a lot of stuff in the early days of my business, plenty of things besides workshops and training for free. And it was a wealth mindset that really needed to be developed in me that that's not how you're going to actually accomplish anything. So I've really had a lot of a spiritual journey, really. And it's because being a teacher, I've always wanted to help people. So this motivation to help people has in many instances superseded the drive to make money. That's been a secondary thing. And I think to a large extent with me, it still is. But at a point I realized, no, I'm giving so much value. There's value in what I'm doing, and people are happy to pay for value. And when that light went on in my head, everything turned around for me, and I really then started making my mark. And so now I charge for my workshops and to come and do talks, obviously pertaining to the subject matter that I'm proficient in. And what Billy says is quite true. You know, once you've done a few and you've got good reviews, I like to do a survey, an anonymous survey after a workshop or a talk, and to get feedback anonymously via digital means from the participants, because, you know, people are, obviously you do ask for testimonials or referrals when you communicate with somebody directly and they're happy to sign it and put their name on it. But I find you get the most honest responses when it's just anonymous and people feel they can really answer and say what they thought. And the reviews have been fantastic. And that's not me blowing my own horn. That's me measuring and doing quality control on what I've delivered to say, okay, people are seeing the value. And, so I would say in the last 2 years, I've begun doing that. And really, really something I enjoy. I think if you're passionate about what you're talking about, that also comes across. And, that is transferred to the crowd. They catch your fire, so to speak. And I think that's something that is absolutely crucial. But more than that, developing your speaking skill. There is technique. There are things. I found getting tips from Andy Harrington, for example, watching his online training, going through that. You could join Toastmasters. These are things that business owners can do to help them up their game in the boardroom. And if they're going to deliver subject matter as a business service offering, then I would say, make sure that you up your game. Make sure that you polish your skills. And if you're passionate about your subject matter and your knowledge is thorough, then the only missing ingredient is to really be sure that when you stand in front of a room, you can really hold the attention of the people in the room and make the connection with them that they need to say, hey, but you know, he or she, I know what they're talking about. I can relate to that. Yes. Okay. And that gives you more of a sway in a room full of people than just the knowledge that you're transferring to them.
No, it's actually interesting what you're saying. I mean, you spoke of fire. I mean, let me take this back to Ntate Selekani. Ntate Selekani, right now, I mean, we're living in a country where there's all these young people. You know, it makes me sad that sometimes some of them don't want to go to school, they don't want to get themselves empowered, you know, and they want to be speakers. All of a sudden, they're motivational speakers and whatever. And right now,
well, it's almost like being a pastor. You need a tent and a few pictures and call yourself an apostle. You know? And nobody asks you any question. It's kind of strange because everybody's got a calling to become an apostle, and they've got a big tent and they've got pictures, and suddenly they give a prophecy. So it's the same like the speaking industry. But what I like about Jackie, she said it took 7 years. Now, Malcolm Gladwell in the book Outliers talks about the 10,000 hour rule. Says for you to be a real expert in whatever you do, you've got to go through 10,000 hours. And that's exactly 7 years. Now, the truth is, the top 20% speakers globally have done over 10,000 hours. That's why they're within the top 20. So here's the fascinating thing. You know, there's everybody speaking, it's a big blah, blah,
and
blah.
And it's starting to lose value somehow.
But there is always a definition or a divider.
Okay.
Now, there's a global qualification called CSP, Certified Speaking Professional. Less than 10% of the world's total speaking population has that qualification. It is a sort that cuts, you know, that really is a great divider. Now, in the continent of Africa, we've got about 11 CSPs, you know. So, for guys like Bulelan and you, I'm going to tell you now that 5 years from now, actually even less than 5 years from now, great organizations are going to want to know your bona fides. They're not going to pay you the amount of money that you think you deserve while you cannot show that you are a credible speaker. Because people stand on stage and say the most ridiculous thing. Oh, people are multimillionaires, people have done this. And things that, unfortunately, our society is not very high on validation. Because, you know,
a
young man comes to me and says he speaks about wealth. I say, oh, really cool. So are you wealthy? He says, no, but I've read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I'm thinking, are you serious? And you, my friend, speak about wealth. So eventually there has to be, and this process has begun globally, that your bona fides have to be tested. Because I'm telling you now, the 10,000 rule, it's not going to change for anybody. That's why the top 20% of the world.
I need to shake your hand for this one. I need to shake your hand for this one. JK, remember our discussion when I was saying to you, there's nothing that pisses me off. You find some speaker that says, I'll teach you how to make a million. And he says, how many millions have you made yourself? Yeah. And only to find out that they've not made even 100,000. They've not made even 50,000. So they're going to be teaching you about something they've read on Google or something that they've seen someone else do. You know? Yeah. And for me, I think it's those things that actually drop the value of this business. And that's why you find now, I mean, it's important to specialize and know the value that you're giving people.
You've got to be an expert.
Yes. No, it's definitely true. Mm-hmm. And it's a very thin line. And I understand, and Dr. Silikani, you hold the qualification that you're the only one that you have in our country.
Yeah, there's 11 of us. I'm the only black guy that has it, you know. So I'm doing the first black man thing here, you know. I'm riding on this thing. I'm not. But there's 11 CSPs in this country, and the number is increasing. Because these are people that realize that, how do I differentiate? It's true. And you know, some companies will go and get some little guy from Hammans Kraal. And then they say, no, but somebody, the quote is quoting us 5,000. I say, you know what? In Afrikaans, they say, goed koop is dier koop. I say, oh, really? He's quoting 5,000. Please go and use him. And come back to me after I mess up. I'm going to charge you double what I'm charging you now. And that's a fact. You know what I'm trying to say? You've got companies that, and I say to people, this is how much I'm worth. I'm like, you know, Barack Obama, I don't negotiate with terrorists. I'm non-negotiable. This is my fee. You know, I say to people, if your budget allows you to drive a Volkswagen, don't wish for a Bentley until you can afford the budget of a Bentley. It's as simple as that. And people think you only stand for an hour. We research topics. You customize your topics based on the industry. You find out what's happening. So I'm not charging you for the 1 hour. I'm charging you for the 8 to 12 to 14 hours that I need to do research to make sure that I deliver the content that is relevant to your organization that can give impact. I'm not charging you for the 1 hour. I'm not. I'm charging for that. I'm charging for the 18 years. I'm charging for the amount of money that I spend on coaches, my travel around the world, learning so that I could stand in front of your people and give them value that they can take and implement in the organization. That's what I'm charging you for. It's as simple as that.
Jackie, where are female speakers? We don't see female speakers in this business. There's very few of you guys. Where are you guys hiding?
I think there are a number of very good female speakers, actually, but definitely not enough. Just like across most industries, women are often still not quite featured where they could be, or in some people's opinion should be. But I think that I just want to tie into what Billy said there by saying yes. When we stand up, when I stand up in front of a room full of people and I teach them what I know, it's not coming from time spent in a university or reading books. Yes, plenty of your knowledge is learned on the job, and it does come from a certain amount of research and reading and self-teaching. But the majority of it is from experience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no school like the school of hard knocks and experience and finding things out the hard way. It's a hard teacher, but the best lessons are learned. And I don't know about I don't belong to any of the speaker organizations because, as I say, my focus is more on training workshops specifically. Mm-hmm. But I know that there are agencies, and I've actually watched a number of talks, particularly ones on sales. A woman by the name of Shelley Walters, I've watched her. And I think there are a lot of upcoming women speakers, but it's something that needs to be developed, and we really need to see the skill set being encouraged. Like what Billy's talking about, having that gold standard, having a CSP qualification. Now you're talking professional. Now you can honestly say, I am a professional speaker.
Absolutely.
And we need to be encouraging our young people and our ladies to get qualified, you know, to hone those skills. I think there's a desperate need for it.
Mm.
Because there's so many different niches. I can come and speak to you about social media, but there's in every single industry, there are speakers required because that transfer of knowledge and the experience that gets imputed to an audience through a good speaker who can tell their story and really share their experience, that's invaluable. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. No, I mean, Jackie, we're actually running out of time. We're going to be closing off the show in not so long. But now, if I were to say right now, there's someone that is listening. There's me, there's Ntate Billy, there's Bulelani here that obviously are in this business. If ever you'd give us a social media tips today, what would you say?
I would say it is a marathon, not a sprint. There is a huge focus on social networks to build the biggest following. And yes, everybody wants to have more eyeballs on the content that they're sharing. But what I would like to emphasize is that social media is called social media because it's about relationships. Whether you are representing your personal brand or your business brand, when you get onto social media, even if you're only spending a half an hour a day on social media, build relationships. It's about giving back. It's about reciprocating. And that law of reciprocation, if you employ that on social networks, you will grow your following automatically a lot faster than if you come online and all you do is say, listen to me, look at me, it's all about me, because you don't want to be that person at the dinner party. So share generously, give generously, and you're going to see that come back to you. And I mean, that's a principle that applies across the board, not just on social media.
Mm. No, it's actually interesting. And that is, would you say there's some good relationships that you've gained from social media?
Yes, there are, because, you know, social media does not replace the human contact. And social media is not about I'm eating breakfast on top of a mountain and, you know, it's not about that. Social media is about giving people content that can empower them and transform them.
Yes.
And we're living in an environment where people want to know if you're an authority on what you're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
And social media is one of the platforms that we can use to connect with people and give them your content. So your social media, when people open your Facebook, teach people, give people information that shifts them and moves them to the next stage. Because here's the truth. People don't care how many watches you have, how flashy your car is. People care about what content can you give them to shift their life to the next level? That's what people want from you.
It's actually interesting. Bulena, have you had some good networks come out of social media?
No, man, definitely. I mean, connecting with people all the time, and I think just taking from what Ntate Billy was just talking about right now, just always adding value and impacting people, give people content, and you'll see it being reciprocated.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's something cool, just 1 minute, that Ntate Billy is starting that I'd love for him to just speak about. I don't know if it's still under wraps, but it's super amazing. It's the first in South Africa.
I want to hear that.
It's going to be almost the first in the world. I hope so. Okay, let me tell you then, what's happening is we're launching what's called GCTV, Global Conference Television. It's an online learning platform where we're going to focus on top-end conferences from around the world, top speakers, coaches, and subject matter experts. And our market focus is Middle East and Africa. And why is it Middle East and Africa? Because the content that you have, the people that need it the most are those that cannot afford to get it.
So that is so true.
So we've taken it upon ourselves to go and search for the content, put it in our platform, and give it to people in Africa. And the vision is to change the world, but to begin by changing Africa first. Because I realize that most people in Africa are not poor because of anything else. They are poor because systematically the system has been created to make people desperate. But now, with the advent of technology, people have got smartphones. So everybody who has a smartphone, who's got access to the internet, can consume this content. So we did a pilot. We've had about 320,000 go through the system in March. We're closing the pilot on Thursday. And then on the 23rd of April, we're launching the new front end, which is going to be what we take onto the market. And we're quite excited that we'll be able to touch and transform people's lives in Africa by giving them access to this top content. So guys like you will also feature in the top content, because the first 3 months we'll be giving VOD, which is video on demand, but from July we'll be running live video streaming from our studios.
I own a television production company, so we need to talk. We could be doing some of the production.
Yep.
And Jackie, you'll be doing social media, right?
I am currently working on an online safety program as well. Because obviously working in digital, being a mother and a teacher, I am very passionate about the role that online safety plays and keeping people safe online in the space. And it really extends beyond just password protection and avoiding email phishing scams, et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot more to it than that. And so I'm actually currently also working on content in that vein. And, it sounds like there's a lot of exciting things on the go, but very much coming all from that same place where it's to empower people with knowledge through this information economy that we've got at our fingertips.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot for joining us, Jackie. We'll be definitely touching base with you next week. All right.
It's been a pleasure and really great listening. Thanks very much for having me.
No, definitely. Dr. Silikane, let me take this opportunity to give you 30 seconds to speak to someone that is listening out there. What would you say to that person today?
I'd say that each and every one of us has a story to tell. But not all of us, our stories will move people, you know? But if you have a story to tell and you believe that you can inspire people, go out there and learn the craft, you know? Invest your time and your money in finding somebody to teach you. The best school you can start at is Toastmasters. But here's the deal. It takes 20 years to become an overnight success. Nobody who starts today will become a great speaker by December. It's not going to happen. It's not lotto or you know, tenders. This is not a tender system where your cousin's going to give you a tender and suddenly you're this great speaker.
Mm.
Invest in yourself and be, you know what, guys? When you're standing on stage, people listen to every word you say and they take it very seriously. Be honest and authentic. Don't stand on stage and say things that are not true.
Mm.
There's nothing as said as people looking at you having this massive impression, which is not true.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, the truth has a funny way of sneaking up on people. So be authentic and be truthful.
No, definitely. No, thanks a lot, Dr. Silikane, for your time. And thank you for coming to studio today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
No, definitely. Bulelani, quickly, you having tea on Saturday. Do you want to quickly tell us the details to where
can people go? We're having tea, which is an entrepreneurial and leadership development platform in Tembisa.
Mm-hmm.
23rd of April, this Saturday, with Debogo Mafodi. In fact, just go to joinusfortea.co.za. Join us for tea.co.za. You're going to get all the info. It is free.
Okay, join us for tea.co.za. What am I saying? Until you value yourself, you will not value your time. Until you will value your time, you will not value anything you do. Spend your time wisely doing something that grows you and that adds value to others. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Debogo Mafodi. This is all that we had today for you right here on Cliff Central. The name of the show is 360 Biz. Catch us again next time, same place, same time, with another exciting coverage of another exciting business with an interesting entrepreneur. I'm out.
Cliff Central.
The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.